Once upon a time, in the ancient land of China, there lived an emperor. He ruled over a large and prosperous empire. His palace was magnificent. It was adorned with diamonds, rubies, and beautifully painted glass. Surrounding the palace were abundant, luxuriant gardens, and surrounding the gardens were thick, lush, green forests. All day and all night, the sounds of the forest danced in the air. Rising above the chorus was the melodious voice of a small and gentle bird, the nightingale. One day, as the emperor was getting his toenails clipped and filed, the royal clipper started humming an unfamiliar tune. "What is that you are singing?" queried the emperor. "Why, sire, it is the song of the nightingale," was the reply. Because the emperor had never visited his own forests, he did not know the first thing about the nightingale. He quickly summoned all of his top counselors, including Lo Mein, his most trusted and important advisor. He demanded an explanation. Lo, who had never visited the forest either, knew nothing of the nightingale. "Find that bird or be trampled," ordered the emperor. The advisors ran up and down the stairs, through the halls, and into all of the rooms. Even into the closets and dirty clothes. Frantically, as Lo Mein raced through the kitchen, he encountered a servant girl who was scrubbing away at the pots and pans. When asked about the bird, she said that of course she knew of the nightingale. She heard it sing every night when she walked through the forest, bringing scraps of leftover food to her poor, sick mother. Lo was dumbfounded. How could a lowly kitchen girl know of the nightingale, when he, Lo Mein, the smartest of all the advisors, had neither heard nor seen this supposedly magnificent creature? But he did not want to be trampled, so he begged the kitchen girl to take him to the nightingale, to which she readily agreed. Anything, she thought, would be better than scrubbing these dirty pots and pans. Quickly, all of the advisors assembled, and they followed the girl out of the kitchen and into the gardens. Gardens, they marched into the lush green forest. Soon the bellowing of the emperor's cows could be heard. "Indeed, that is the most beautiful sound," exclaimed the attendants. Thank you. later, as they crossed the river deeper into the woods, frogs were heard croaking noisily. "Indeed, that is the most beautiful sound on the earth," said Lomaine. "Yes, yes," came the refrain from the others. Each time, the kitchen girl exclaimed with more and more annoyance, "Don't be ridiculous. The nightingale is far more beautiful than that." The search continued. After hours of never-ending trekking and traipsing, suddenly, they were stopped by the most exquisite sound they had ever heard. "That's it! That's it!" squealed the kitchen girl with great delight. "This is the little nightingale!" "Little nightingale," invited the kitchen girl. "Our emperor wishes you to sing before him." Lomaine continued. "It is my great honor to invite you to a court festival this evening to sing before his royal majesty." "My song sounds loveliest when I am in the forest, but I will gladly obey the emperor's command," chirped the bird. Led by the kitchen girl, with the nightingale perched on her shoulder, they all marched back to the palace. As they arrived, throngs of townspeople cheered. Word had quickly spread that the nightingale was coming. They entered the palace and saw the emperor sitting on his golden throne, looking quite imperial in his fine robes and jeweled crown. Nodding kindly to the young bird, the emperor spoke, "Sing, my dear, and let us hear what you have to offer." When the first notes floated ever so sweetly from the nightingale's throat, tears could be seen in the emperor's eyes. After the beautiful song was completed, the emperor offered the nightingale one of his golden slippers. The gift was graciously declined, as the nightingale explained, "My reward is seeing the happiness of the emperor. That is enough for me." News of the nightingale's song spread like butter on warm pancakes, and soon she became the talk of the town. Everyone had heard of the sensational bird. Even when neighbors greeted each other on the street, one would say, "Nighting," and the other would reply, "Gale." The town was in love. Several weeks later, a package from the Emperor of Japan arrived at the palace. The Emperor of Japan was a very important fellow, but not as important as our Emperor, of course. On an elegantly written note card were the words, "The Nightingale." Opening the package, the Emperor beheld a beautifully decorated wooden mechanical bird. It was adorned with diamonds, rubies, and gold, and was easily the most magnificent work of art to be seen at the palace in years. "We must hear its song," exclaimed Lomain and all the other attendants. "Crack her up and let her rip," boomed the Emperor, forgetting his imperial title and manners. The mechanical bird sang a simple but very pretty waltz. Shouts of approval echoed from wall to wall. Heart-stopping. A sizzler. Two thumbs up. A masterpiece. All of a sudden, silence. Everyone looked to the Emperor for his approval. The Emperor gave a little wink, complimented with a slight smile. "Play it again," demanded the crowd. Lomain rewound the crank, and the music started once again. True, it sounded the same, but the people loved the waltz as before. Immediately, everyone clamored for a duet between the two birds. They wanted to hear the nightingale's sweet soprano, along with the beautiful falsetto of the wooden bird. They looked to the Emperor, who pronounced, "Make it so." The duet did not work at all, because the wooden bird sang her regular waltz, while the real nightingale sang freely with much expression and no resemblance to the impostor. Unfortunately, the townspeople favored the mechanical bird over the nightingale. They preferred the rigid nature and absolute certainty of its tunes to the freer and more expressive melodies of the nightingale. The nightingale became despondent and left the palace for her home in the forest. Much time passed, and everyone at the palace was delighted to listen to the mechanical bird. It was placed on a silken pillow and surrounded by the many gifts it had received. The real nightingale was all but forgotten. One night, while listening to the same old bird sing the same old song, the Emperor noticed the tune getting slower. As he listened more carefully, he even heard some very strange and unexpected noises. "It's broken!" wailed the Emperor. "Call the doctor!" he yelled in his best Emperor voice. The royal doctor took one look at his patient and sheepishly shook his head. I can't help you. You don't need a doctor. Call the watchmaker! Soon the royal watchmaker arrived, and he quickly set to work. After considerable tinkering, he came to a somewhat shaky diagnosis. You can't fix the bird without ruining the music, he whimpered. But I suppose you could play it very sparingly. At most, once a year. And so, from that time onward, the bird was wound up and played only one time every year. True, the music got slower and slower, but the emperor and the townspeople either did not notice or didn't seem to mind. They could still listen to their favorite waltz. Time passed, and aside from the problems with the mechanical bird, all was well in the kingdom. Several years later, the emperor became sick, very sick. All of the doctors tried their special potions, but none could cure him. The townspeople, the attendants, Lo Mein, and all of the royal family were very, very worried. As he lay in bed, the emperor wanted to hear music. He knew that music would soothe his soul and help to get him well. He first called for the Chinese drum, the traditional healing instrument. But no one was around to play, so he could not hear the royal drum. He was getting sicker and sicker by the minute. The emperor next called for Lo Mein or anyone at all to wind up the mechanical bird. Surely the beautiful sounds of the machine would help him to heal, but no one was around to assist. The emperor begged the mechanical bird to sing, but to no avail. The emperor was getting even sicker. Just when things seemed like they could not get any worse, the real nightingale appeared in the window. Even though she had been greatly wronged in the past, the bird offered to sing for the emperor. The emperor weakly nodded his head in thanks, and the bird burst forth into glorious song. At first, she sang a simple song, so not to upset the emperor's delicate condition. The emperor smiled and occasionally even bobbed his head in rhythm. As the nightingale saw that her song was helping the emperor feel better, she sang with more gusto and beauty. She so wanted to see the emperor get well. The nightingale's singing had a miraculous effect, and the emperor soon recovered. Overjoyed, he offered her a golden cage and perch right next to his throne. He promised to destroy the mechanical bird and make her, the true nightingale, the royal imperial songstress. The nightingale declined his offer. She begged the emperor not to destroy the mechanical bird, for it was not its fault. And she said, I want to continue living in the forest, singing for the common people who need to hear me too. But the nightingale did promise to come back and sing for the emperor whenever he so desired. After careful thought, the emperor finally agreed. He realized that the nightingale's song truly was a special gift and should be enjoyed throughout the empire. He decided that music is magical and is a treasure to be enjoyed by all.